This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
In space, no one can hear you scream. On Joy 94.9, it's a different story. Sci-fi and Scream, Thursday nights, 11 to 1, on Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream with Sonia, Kaz and Albert tonight.
Yes, it is.
And we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yes, it is ticked over to midnight.
It has.
Happy New Year.
Happy Friday.
Happy
TGIF.
Yes.
The track we just heard was Shadow of Space by Tripod. And Tripod are an Australian comedy act, a trio.
Melbourne's.
They are the Victorians, Melburnians. Mm-hmm. By their own admission, they sing about robots a lot and Star Wars. Apparently, they were referenced in a Star Wars novel called Force Heretic 2. I don't know what Force Heretic 1 was about.
Okay.
There was two of them.
Only two of them.
Uh-huh.
And that song was taken from their album About an Hour of Song in an Hour Again and was played originally on the Triple J Breakfast Show with Will Anderson and Adam Spencer. And you can actually hear Will Anderson cacking himself in the background,
Ooh.
Which I think is very cute. Oh,
other places to do that.
Different cacking.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So,
it's a cultural thing.
I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that they're pretty diehard fanboys too.
Mm. They certainly are.
Yes.
Sci-fi movie news.
Yes.
Is it time?
I think it is.
Okay. Now, only last week we were discussing the influences of the original Alien film and screenwriter Dan O'Bannon died on the 17th of December 2009 after a 30-year battle with Crohn's disease. So on Sci-Fi Scope Online reported that Daniel Thomas O'Bannon, born 30th of September 1946 in St. Louis, Missouri. He wrote the screenplay for the science fiction horror blockbuster Alien in 1979. He shared a 1976 Saturn Award for Best Special Effects for Dark Star and was nominated for three other Saturns for writing Alien, for directing Return of the Living Dead, and for co-writing Total Recall. The Los Angeles Times has quoted director John Carpenter as saying, "Dan was enormously talented. He was acerbically funny and I think quite underappreciated. I think Dan had more talent than he was allowed to show in the movie business. He was multi-talented, a production designer, editor, director and writer. He also studied fine art at Washington University in St. Louis, attended McMurray College in Illinois, and earned a BA in film from the USC in 1970. His career began with Dark Star in 1974, which he co-wrote and actually acted in, playing Sergeant Pinback. It's a great film. Beach Balls are pretty scary in that film. He described his inspiration for Alien. He said that he modelled the alien's behaviour on the life cycles of parasitic microorganisms." So he will be missed, and it's very sad. Some of the other things that his writing credits include is AVPR, Aliens vs. Predator, Requiem, 2007, AVP, Alien vs. Predator, 2004, Alien Resurrection, 1997, Bleeders, 1997, Screamers, 1995, Alien 3, 1992, Total Recall, 1990, and Aliens, 1986, Invaders from Mars, 1986, Life Force, 1985, Return of the Living Dead, which I love, 1985, Blue Thunder, which is an interesting film, 1983, and Heavy Metal, 1981, Dead and Buried, 1981, and of course Alien, 1979. Okay. Actress Brittany Murphy died on the 20th of December 2009 of an apparent heart attack. Her genre roles include Mega Fault, 2009, Deadline, 2009, Futurama, The Beast with a Billion Backs, 2008, Happy Feet, 2006, Never Was, 2005, Good Boy, 2003, Cherry Falls, great film, 2000, Prophecy 2, 1998, Drive, 1997, and Sequest DSV, one episode, 1995. Okay. And the new series based on the film Witches of Eastwick has been cancelled in the US. So what went wrong? Part of the failure of the show could be laid at its concept. It was supposed to be a supernatural comedy or a romantic comedy, a mystery show, a fantasy show. We're not sure. It kind of got lost in there. And Sci-Fi Scope Online reports that Witches of Eastwick has now no more. And according to New Zealand's Dominion Post, Peter Jackson is secretly developing a sci-fi film based on the Mortal Engines books by Philip Reeve. The report says on SFX, the Earth's greatest science fiction and fantasy magazine. And the books are set in a post-apocalyptic world where cities have become giant vehicles and must consume each other to survive. Mortal Engines, the first book in the series, won the Nestle Smarties Book Prize and was shortlisted for the 2002 Whitbread Award. The newspaper, that's the New Zealand Dominion, claims that Weta Workshops is already busy with designs, but a spokesman for the company would only respond and saying, any comment should come from Peter. Okay, more news. And from Locus Online, it's been reported that artist Frank Frazetta's son, Alfonso Frank Frazetta, 52, was arrested on December the 9th on charges of attempting to steal approximately $20 million in paintings from his father's museum in Pennsylvania. And according to the police report, Franzetta Jr., with the help of two men, including one operating a backhoe, broke through the museum door and attempted to make off with about 90 paintings. He was arrested by state police and charged with burglary, theft by unlawful taking, and criminal trespasses. Frank Jr.'s wife, Lori Frazetta, said the incident was a result of family infighting, and further said Frank Jr. notified state troopers of his intentions to inventory the paintings, pursuant to a civil litigation among family members. Interesting. His paintings are definitely iconic, I would suppose. And speaking at the US premiere of Avatar on December the 16th, in a report by Total Sci-Fi Online, X-Men director Bryan Singer has confirmed that he's returning to the mutant franchise after signing up to direct the spin-off, X-Men First Class. Interviewed by MySpace, Singer also noted that he was working on the fairy tale-based adventure, Jack the Giant Killer, as his next project, describing the new X-Men movie as an origins picture. The Superman Returns director wouldn't be drawn on which characters feature in Chuck co-creator Josh Schwartz's script for the film.
That's a bit of news that I'm really, really excited about, yeah, quite frankly.
That's separate from the was supposed to be Deadpool. Is supposed to
Deadpool, yeah, a spin-off film that's going to be occurring with Ryan Reynolds. I'm not sure who's set to direct that one, but as a quite a fan of the X-Men films, I was very disappointed in The Last Stand, which was directed by Brett Ratner. And I've enjoyed Brett Ratner's work. I mean, I like Rush Hour. I think they're very funny films. I just think he was definitely the wrong director for this franchise.
Yeah.
And Bryan Singer, I fell to my knees and, you know, genuflected. And I'm an atheist. when I heard this
I'm
news,
an atheist and proud.
Just because he's just such a good director. He really gets X-Men and did such a good job on the first two films. In one more item from me, sci-fi news note, the BBC will air the first part of 2009's Doctor Who Christmas special, The End of Time, on the 25th of December. The second part is going to air on the 1st of January 2010, and this will be David Tennant's last outing in the Plimsolls. He'll be turning the role over to Matt Smith in 2010, with Russell T Davies turning over head production and writing duties to Stephen Moffat. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, and the track we just heard was Christmas with the Devil by Spinal Tap.
And they had a personal message at the end there.
It really did. Oh, my heart was all
flutter. Was it for Jamie Lee Curtis? Who's married to Christopher Guest.
Oh. He's in the band. And you were just saying something very interesting about Christopher Guest.
I did.
Oh, yeah, what was that?
Oh, he's a duke.
A duke?
He's a duke or a lord.
And what does that
mean? He's related to the Queen. He's like 23rd cousin.
Oh, okay.
Five times removed.
And so that makes Jamie Lee Curtis
a duchess.
A duchess.
A duchess of Curtis. A duchess of Guest. A guest duchess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We love her because we're going to probably do a show later on down the track about Jamie, Sigourney, and whatever. Those people.
You know, I love Buffy. I love the strong female characters.
That's it.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with you then?
Oh, I don't know.
People act like it's a bit of an anomaly, but, you know. Hey,
fight back.
Who's going to get out there and kick some ass when things need to be done?
Yes.
It's going to be the ladies.
Right? Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the women have the balls.
Which some do.
Interesting segue. Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, which is a
classic.
A spoof film. So we're just going to have a little bit of chat, a bit of dissertation about spoof and comedy films.
We've got an SMS.
We've got an SMS.
David.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Love the show, guys. I don't like Christmas movies. Much prefer something like Galaxy Quest. We can talk about that.
Thanks very much, David. We can talk about
you forgot
Galaxy
your
Quest.
Membership number, David.
Oh, well.
That's right. So Galaxy Quest is kind of a spoof. It really doesn't spoof a particular film or genre. But it definitely sort of spoofs Star Trek a little bit and Star Trek fans in particular. Generally spoof films, especially if they're horror spoofs, they kind of take the things from those films that are frightening, meant to be frightening or threatening, and they put them in a situation that's so ridiculous that they're no longer a threat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or that they take away their power by putting them in those comedic situations. Mm-hmm. And it really works quite well. So we've already mentioned Spaceballs, which is kind of a sci-fi spoof. It's from the Mel Brooks stable of films.
Oh, yes. We love him.
Definitely.
He is our leader.
We have lots of leaders here at Sci-Fi and Scream.
So many. We're just full-on followers. It obviously spoofs Star Wars, but there are references to Star Trek, Alien, and Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
Mel Brooks is actually in the film. So is John Candy and Rick Moranis. And it's a funny film. It's quite self-referential in the way that it kind of mentions merchandising within the film, merchandise of its own things. You know, you've got silly sight gags, you've silly puns. Instead of the Force, you have the Schwartz. you know, some great... My favourite one, and one I remember from when I was a kid, is when the... I think it's the Imperial officers are out there combing the desert with a massive comb.
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't have thought of that. A rooster's comb or...
No, just a giant
hair comb.
It's like Honey Rush for the Kids.
Combing the desert.
Deserts like Tatooine.
And he does these multiple performances. Like, he plays... Not many people do that in spoofs.
Other people like Eddie Murphy or...
That's going beyond...
I'm bringing up all these...
He plays Eddie Murphy, does he?
Going beyond the realm of comedy, his movies.
Won't go there.
So you've got quite a few sci-fi spoofs. We also mentioned, obviously, Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
It's not so much a spoof as kind of a comedy, really.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a story of about a bunch of out-of-work actors who relive the days of the cancelled TV series Galaxy Quest.
There was an animated series sequel to Spaceballs called Spaceballs, a TV series, which premiered in 2008.
That's it.
And who
Know about that one.
No, I don't have heard anything.
Mel Brooks produced it.
Oh, okay.
And I believe he also did the voice.
He's so prolific. He did robots as well. You just know his voice. You know, you sit there and go, oh my God, that's Mel Brooks. Oh man, it's so cool.
Really recognizable. So you've also got Galaxy Quest, which is a very funny movie, very popular film. Mm-hmm. You've got Sigourney Weaver, who obviously played Ripley, and classic Tim Allen, who doesn't have a great pedigree in sci-fi or horror.
Makes a good blonde, I think.
Yeah,
she does look fabulous as a blonde.
Yes,
She kind of looks fabulous anyway, but she really managed to pull that off, especially since that character was supposed to be sort of based on... Well, she had a lot made about her looks.
Oh, yes.
She complains about it. There's a lot of focus on her looks. Yes. It's got Alan Rickman in it, who's always dour and funny.
Good voice. Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Snape and Harry Potter. And he was also the voice of Marvin, the paranoid android in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh.
It's also got Sam Rockwell in it.
Oh, yeah. He is so cool.
Okay.
And he plays the character. You know how you have these science fiction films and horror films, and there's always the little character that gets killed off.
It's the red shirt.
And he recognises the fact that he's going to be killed off. But he's not... Well, he's not actually ethnic.
Oh, sorry.
Well, that's a good thing about Star Trek.
Because it's not like whenever you see a horror film... It's, yeah, ethnic's going to get it first.
They say that in Scary Movie.
And then the ethnic woman, and then the, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. In Star Trek, it's not so much, or in sci-fi, it's not so much the colour of your skin as the colour of your shirt that dictates whether you're going to be.
I think it's the moustache.
Makes him Sam Rockwell. No.
In Galaxy Quest, I think it's the moustache and the fact that he really wants to be a star.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not. He's just an extra.
Oh,
but he's good.
He's so good.
And obviously, Sam Rockwell went on to work on some very... he was also in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Played Zaphod Beeble-Brox in that. And in Moon.
Moon.
Oh. Which Sonia and I have discussed that,
haven't we?
Yes.
I think.
Very interesting film.
Down in somewhere.
And he did a fantastic job in that as well. But we've got so many.
Yeah, I mean, you've got
great spoof and comedy films.
The Scary Movie franchise.
The whole Scary Movie franchise.
Sometimes it's too much.
I know it's a little
bit. They blend into one, but they actually have some actors in that who've gone on to greater things.
Yeah, well, Anna Faris was kind of the lead in.
You know what? She's so funny.
Yeah,
her timing is up there with. People who are up there, you know?
She's kind of the greats of great females
she really
of comedy.
Plays kind of the same characters in all of it, but that's kind of her comedic.
That's her niche, though. Yeah. And the thing is, even if she never wins an Academy Award, you know what? She's probably made plenty of money from these films. She doesn't need to justify herself to anyone. I think she's done a good job.
But what if she wants a little gold man? She might want the little man.
Oh, she might go there. You know.
She'll have to disfigure herself or put on a big fake nose.
Fake nose.
No nose.
Chop her hair off. Nicole Kidman.
She could go blonde.
Charlize Theron.
She could go back to being blonde.
She's blonde in those movies.
Yeah, she was in The House Bunny. Don't know how good that film was, but
but who cares? She was
didn't
so
look great.
Funny. But
speaking of the Scary Movie franchise, that also has up as playing the US president, someone who has a great background in spoof films, which is Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
He plays the president.
He's in every single one.
He is. he's in a lot of them. He's in Dracula, Dead and Loving It, which was another Mel Brooks film. He was in Repossessed, which was kind of a piss take on The Exorcist, quite a funny movie.
Well, it's kind of, I think I probably remember his character in that movie more than I do of the priest in The Exorcist.
I would have no idea who the priest in The Exorcist was, but I remember that movie because it was so ridiculously funny. Obviously, Nielsen's done the Naked Gun movies and Spy Hard. He also did a really crap spoof called... 2001 A Space Travesty.
Oh, okay.
Look, I missed that one.
I've only seen bits of it, but it does look like an utter travesty.
And Priscilla Presley.
In
the Naked Gun movies.
So that's like...
Yeah, and O.J. Simpson.
A bit of royalty in there.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson.
There's always royalty in there. We don't mention him.
Oh, okay. No.
Oh, he has a hilarious scene where he can't fit his afro through the door and it's bad, but it's so funny. Those movies are terrible.
They're all the originals that you can't kind of they can't really match them in today's kind of.
I don't even know if they'd be allowed to get away with some of the stuff they put in there now.
Yeah, everyone's politically correct now.
Yeah, that's it. But so we're talking a bit about that sort of stuff. Dracula, Dead and Loving It, I find a pretty funny movie. It spoofs the 1992 film Bram Stoker's Dracula. Mm-hmm. And there's just some very funny takes on
Blackula.
I haven't seen that version.
No.
In the 70s, there was the Blaxploitation series of films.
Yes.
Yeah, and they were hugely popular. So I wonder if the origin of these spoofs actually comes from that.
They may well do.
May well be a family tree that we could look into.
It could be. Well, Mel Brooks was making, he made Young Frankenstein as far back as 1974. Frankenstein.
Oh, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. That's how Gene Wilder's...
Like envelopes.
That's how Gene Wilder's character insists. And also...
I love that.
It's full of funny little things like...
Putting on the Ritz. Love it.
Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah.
Yes.
The cracker. What?
He's a cracker. What?
Ritz crackers? Sorry.
No.
I'm on a bit lost here, listeners. So,
that shows your lack of musical...
Turn your mic off. Whatever.
Peter Boyle plays the monster.
The late
in
and the
that.
Great.
Peter he Boyle. Was. And a lot of people would know him as Frank from Everybody Loves Raymond, but he
that's
was...
nothing compared to Joe.
Joe the Plumber.
One of his first films.
No, I haven't.
Came out in 1968.
But he was, I do remember him from Young Frankenstein as the monster, and he was very, very funny in that. It's just one of those out and out.
It up. It's just it classic. Really does. And of course, it's got the wonderful Gene Wilder and
Gene Wilder actually co-wrote that as well with Mel Brooks.
And Madeline Kahn, the late, great Madeline Kahn.
Yes. It had a lot of...
Gosh, she's funny. Marty Feldman. Bride of Frankenstein. The late, great Marty Feldman.
Yes, as Igor.
They're all late and great.
It's terribly sad, but it's the thing. Yeah, Mel Brooks has managed to survive.
Dead people.
Mel Brooks has survived a lot. And I suppose Mel Brooks really isn't a name that comes up. When you think sci-fi, when you think horror, Mel Brooks is not a name that generally comes to mind.
His real name's Melvin Kaminsky.
Melvin Kaminsky was born in 1926 in Brooklyn, New York.
Awesome.
But he's basically tried his hand at different genres through parody and comedy. He's sort of
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, Blazing Saddles.
That is so cool.
It's a very funny film he's done.
But he also tackles race issues. And Blazing Saddles.
Exactly.
And in all of his films, he really hones in on what is the current, you know, contemporary atmosphere in society. And Blazing Saddles caused a furore when it actually came out.
It did.
Because it had a black cowboy.
And Brooks doesn't have a black sheriff in the end. Mm. And Brooks doesn't shy away from that sort of controversial subject matter either. He's dealt with Nazis. He's dealt with the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah. Yeah.
In his hilarious History of the World Part 1. Mm. Like you said, racism, religion. And somehow Brooks in his films makes it okay to laugh at these sorts of things because he gives them context, and in the end it's kind of the dispossessed or the marginalized group that ends up having the last laugh. And as Mel might say, it's good to be the king, but you know, a lot of his sub characters kind of get in there and have a go as well. It was funny when I was looking at sort of a biography of Brooks' life, he actually served in the US Army during World War II in North Africa. So he must have seen some pretty, I suppose, horrific things there. And it just makes you sort of wonder if what prompted him to become, I suppose, really a comic director and actor, and makes so many people laugh.
When things are so nasty, you have to laugh at it.
Yes.
Well, that's it. I think you have to take
the things
that...
That's a coping mechanism.
Exactly. Take the things that frighten you
But that's not to take away his genius. That's not to take away from his genius.
No,
his influence.
Not at all.
And, like, he is pretty amazing.
He's an amazing director. Absolutely. Mm. So you can see there's, you know, great work there, especially laid down by Mel Brooks in parody and spoof. Mm-hmm. Some really, really good films. So if you haven't seen things like Young Frankenstein or Spaceballs,
then what's wrong with you?
Why are you listening
seriously?
To this show?
And what was the other one he did? Oh, the one about his takeoff of Alfred Hitchcock films.
High Anxiety.
Oh,
yes.
Cloris Leachman.
He's got Cloris Leachman's in Young Frankenstein as well, and she's hilarious.
She's just
she's
incredible.
Absolutely fantastic. And he also has a hand in a lot of other works as well. There's a really funny movie called Silence of the Hams, which is a take on Psycho and Silence of the Lambs, and it's done by directed by a good friend of his, Ezio Greggio, and very funny.
Ham is a touchy subject, probably.
Ham is a touchy subject, but he, you know, he's fine. He's Jewish. He deals with it.
Yes.
And Mel Brooks has a cameo in that movie. Just really great pedigree. Does a lot of great work. And we've got a track that will hopefully wake you up. Welcome back to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. The song you just heard was This Is the Night by the Weird Sisters, and that song is from the Goblet of Fire soundtrack. Goblet of Fire is one of the Harry Potter movies, and the Weird Sisters was actually a band within the film, and it consists of Jarvis Cocker from Pulp on lead vocals, in case you couldn't tell, with Radiohead guitarist Johnny Greenwood and Radiohead drummer Phil Selway making up the rest of the trio. And I just thought that was a really fun track to play. Thought it would wake you up a little bit if you're starting to drift off at about 12:30 as we are on Christmas morning.
Yes. Did they have any other performances in the Harry Potter movies? Or?
They did. They had a couple more songs that you can find on the soundtrack as well. And I just thought they handled that really well in the film, the ballroom scene with the kids. Very funny. Mm-hmm. Tired teenagers after a night out. as I said, you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam with Sonia, Albert and Kaz, and we've been talking about Christmas-themed sci-fi, horror, fantasy, keeping it light, looked at a few spoof films as well. We were talking about things like Young Frankenstein and Dracula Dead and Loving It. But there are also comedy shows, comedy films, things like Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
If you've never seen the series Spaced before,
no,
that's a really great series done by the same guys, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost and Edgar Wright, who was the writer and the director. A couple of other great films that have a comedy bent to them. You've got Beetlejuice, which is a Tim Burton directed film with Michael Keaton, and probably one of his funniest. Kind of scary, but it still kept you sort of glued to the screen because it was such an interesting concept, and the whole life after death thing
was such
handled
a great
well.
Character kind of it was.
Oh yeah,
Winona.
Ah, Winona. She was so young.
Oh, so naive.
So young and innocent.
Horowitz.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of SMSs come through to us. Thanks for listening, guys.
Cool.
Dinesh has messaged in and said, love Mel Brooks, especially History of the World Part 1. Love Madeline Kahn.
Man, she was so cool.
It definitely was. We've also had a message. Someone's messaged in and said, I just finished work and thought I would say Merry Christmas. So thank you very much. Yes. Merry Christmas to you.
Yes.
Happy Anonymous. Festivus and have a happy new year.
Yes.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam. If you'd like to SMS, you can do that on 0427JOY949 or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. So we've talked a little bit about funny films, spoof films and comedies.
Yeah.
What about TV shows?
Oh,
we've talked about Buffy.
Yes, Buffy.
Which is a really funny... besides being dramatic, was really funny.
Yes, yeah, I mean...
Humour was always right through that.
Yeah.
That's why I watched it,
yes,
I guess.
No, it was... It created its own culture, its own language that people still...
Weed and speak and... Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
An example is...
Salty goodness. Salty goodness.
So, what's the sitch? Can you vague it up a little bit for me?
Oh, I like that.
That's cool. I still use that now.
Does anyone else have any such language, lingua?
Anything you've taken from, especially from Whedon. Like I have to say, there are things that I probably don't even think about anymore that I just use in everyday conversation.
And there's still so much actually Whedon stuff that I haven't actually gone into this season 8 of Buffy,
Well, I'm the same with the Angel graphic novels. I haven't really gotten into all of that.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Even though it takes the characters, you know, that one step further.
Mm.
I think Wes comes back as a ghost, which is weird. But very interesting sort of stuff. Are you a Serenity Firefly fan?
Oh, I love Serenity. I actually never saw any of the Firefly series. But, despite all of that, I still loved Serenity and the concept it brought forward. And of course,
it was great. I saw it, I think, 4 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
And
he saw it twice
at the movies and then got it out twice.
Sadly, Whedon's latest show, Dollhouse, has been canned by Fox 8. Fox, in the US. But a great show. Really, really short-lived, but a really interesting concept. So there are some very funny TV shows as well that have comedy as their main focus. Mm. There's an interesting series from the UK that was, I think it was released in 2008 and it hit our screens very recently.
Did so.
No, I was thinking about No Heroics,
right,
which was a really funny show about superheroes who have really limited and lame powers and they have to deal with all that crap human drama.
As they
drama.
Would have.
Mm-hmm. It's just really funny. No, it's a bit like Mystery Men.
Mystery Men.
Yeah.
Have you seen that film?
Much,
that's what China reminds
much
me
more
of.
Interesting.
With
even Watchmen is kind of interesting, but that's not funny, really.
Has its moments.
So much a spoof.
Being human. Sort of
excellent.
Drama, but very funny.
Yeah.
Channel 4. Britain, they always bring out, interesting storylines. It's great to see a series that has a good storyline.
It is a good storyline. And I think
and it's so lo-fi. It's like listening to the Yeah Yeah Yeahs for the first time. You hear Karen O and all you hear is her voice. And that is exactly what Being Human was like, I think.
When you first watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think our second series is due out early next year in the UK. So if you got hooked on that, there's more coming out of that. You've got things as well, like I don't know if anyone's watched Robot Chicken.
Yeah, a little bit.
They did a Star Wars thing, Robot Chicken Wars.
Saw a bit of that.
Quite funny. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Family Guy as well did Blue Harvest.
Blue Harvest because of the joke that when they were making Star Wars in Tunisia, they did a lot of the tattooing scenes there. Yes. They had to pretend that they weren't making this new amazing space adventure. So they didn't want people to get too excited, so they called it Blue Harvest. They even produced hats and T-shirts, so all the crew wore these Blue Harvest hats and T-shirts.
Just to keep the secret.
Oh. He was doing it back then.
Well, he's very paranoid about that kind of thing, although I suppose not paranoid because people will go in and...
But it's now become a mainstay of what a lot of, you know, production houses do now. Yeah, Lord of the Rings did the same thing.
Yep.
You know, with the Hobbitville, the Hobbit town, it was all like quite secretive until someone hacked in, I believe it was.
Well, I suppose that with the proliferation of things on the internet, they just don't want it to get out too early.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they have these almost pseudonyms of identity.
They'll try to utilize that as much as they can with all the viral marketing and the sneak peeks of you know, giving you snippets or trailers of
teaser trailers,
things like Cloverfield. Yeah, never actually knew what it was all about.
Still don't.
Yeah,
was it Godzilla or was it?
Something else. There was, but they kind of extended that story onto the internet where they went deeper into the Japanese company where
that's it. Yeah, that caused the. Yeah. Because it's like an environmental disaster or something that caused it.
Something that fell into the ocean and...
That's it. Which is kind of a story they nicked from that Korean movie, The Host. When I first saw it, it reminded me of that.
The Host is amazing. That was cool.
Very, very good film. Well, we're talking about funny sort of spoof horror and sci-fi and all that sort of thing. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, you can SMS us on 0427.
Yeah, don't go to bed yet.
Don't
go to sleep. Don't go to sleep.
Most of you aren't going to work.
Whatever, because there might be some pods in your
stocking,
glass house, greenhouse.
Don't blink. Don't close your eyes.
Yeah.
We've got a track for you now. This one's bound to get you in the Christmas mood if you aren't already.
Uh-oh. Yes,
it's a little cheery.
What is it? What could it be now?
A little bit jazzy. Which? Maybe. I won't say any more.
That was Last Christmas, put out by the Glee cast. Yes, Glee have struck again.
Yes.
They've, come on.
And
come
of course,
on. I love those kids.
Fanboys DVD, there's a lot of Gleeks out there.
There really are. I'm a Gleek.
Gleeks.
Yeah, for
Gleeks.
Sure.
Yes. Gleeks. You know,
it's very Glee, Gleeky.
Glee and Geek.
Thing.
Gleeks. No, the Gleeks are the uncool ones.
They really are. Yes. They've breathed new life into that Wham song, Last Christmas. And whether you think that's a good thing or not, and I'm not sure that Albert and Sonia do, but it's down to you.
He loves them.
I'm a Gleek.
A portion of the proceeds from sales of that single are going to go to the Grammy Foundation, which is a music education charity.
Yes.
What?
Oh, no,
we've got something for everyone in this show.
We really do. And I love Glee. And if you love Glee or you don't love Glee or you want to say anything about what we've been talking about tonight.
Air your grievances tonight.
You feel gleeful.
You can,
tell us your feats of strength. Sorry.
That's it. Tell us what you're doing.
Tell us your Festivus. Strong feet.
You can SMS 0427 joy949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Yeah, hurry up.
We've been talking a little bit about movies.
Yes.
Talking a little bit about TV shows. Thought we'd give a quick mention to some of the really funny books, horror and otherwise, that have come out in the last year or so, in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Heard of it. Not read it.
No.
Seen the cover.
Haven't heard of it at
Liked
all.
Liked it. The cover.
Yeah.
There's this
feel
kind of...
for Jane Austen.
You feel for her.
Turning in her grave and then rising from it and then eating the brains of those people.
I hope so.
Yes, that would be interesting.
Be cool. But she'd get arrested probably.
There's quite a spate of them. Besides Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, you've got Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters.
They sound like bad porn titles.
They kind of do. And
I don't have to worry about royalties, you see.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because they're actually out of, I think it's, I'm not sure if it's copyright is the correct term, but they can sort of use them now without punishment. There's also Queen Victoria, Demon Hunter, which I believe, Sonia, you were saying might be made into a film.
Yes. Because she was the person who believed that there was no such thing as
God.
Well, can't say it, actually, because you dare not speak its name.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know. Queen Victoria is an interesting sort of character. But it was funny because it was James I of England who actually wrote.
Wasn't English.
He's Scottish, James VII of Scotland, James I of England, who wrote Demonology, which was a book about...
demons?
Was about demons, but also inspired witch hunting and all those lovely practices. So,
killing women.
At the stake. At the fiery cross. Yeah.
Any excuse. So this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And I think we've got another track lined up.
Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. And looking at next week's show, which will be the 31st of December.
New Year's Eve.
And that means the end of the decade. Goodbye, noiters. Hello, whatever it is. Teenies?
Teens.
Teens?
Tens.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, dear. So there should be some... interesting developments in that area. So I'll be looking back on the last 10 years and, well, 9 years actually, and I want to get from you, the listener, your favourite top 10 sci-fi or horror films from the noughties. But I also want to know, for 2009, your top 10, if you can handle that. Make sure you on air at joy.org.au or on the night of the 31st, 0427 Joy 949.
Or you can catch us on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
You can search Sci-Fi and Scream in Facebook. You can even Google Sci-Fi and Scream, which will bring up that Facebook page as well as our podcast.
Bring up something.
So that's Sci-Fi. That's Scream with a S-Q-U-E-A-M. Which is actually is not a word. It's not a word in the dictionary. You can be
ooh,
squeamish.
Goodness. Are you Collins or Oxford? Hello. No. I'm Cambridge.
So, leave us a message and, give us your requests for the top 10 of 2009.
And the decade,
yes.
Sci-fi horror. Because there's too much to choose from. I believe.
Yes, I know.
I keep rewriting my list, and I'm not giving anything away.
No, it's a top secret list.
Top secret business.
All will be revealed next week.
So yes.
You've been listening to Sci-Fi and Scream with Sonia, Albert and Kaz. And that last track that we just played just before.
Flight of the Conchords, of course.
Yes.
And that was David Bowie's In Space with his nipple antennae.
Okay. And this antennae was on his head? Or just...
Tit head.
Where his normal nipples would be.
Where else are they?
Oh, I don't know. They nipples can grow strange places.
If you're a pig. It's been a great night. We've had lots of spoofs and things and...
Anyway, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks very much. We've got one more track before we... say goodnight.
Yes, we do.
And it's a comedy track, and we just thought we'd play you out on that.
Yes, it is. And who's the... We'll give us a bit of background on this before we...
Yeah, absolutely. It's Australian radio duo Martin Malloy, who were very big on FM radio back in the day. And this is a very funny track, which imagines Star Trek Next Generation captain Jean-Luc Picard trying to negotiate a fast food restaurant's drive-through window. And you'd think someone who'd captained a starship would be able to do it, but it works out to be a little bit more difficult than you'd think.
Okay.
Sci-Fi and Scream was synthesized and squashed into shape by Sonia, Albert and Kaz. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Scream, or check out joy.org.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.